Hey, listen, you've got to hang in here for the next 28 minutes. We're going to have a time that's going to be, I think, not only encouraging, but life-changing for some. We're talking about decluttering our lives. I'm going to ask the question, what is the most cluttered area of your life right now, and how is it negatively affecting your life, and what are you doing about it? And what do you mean? Well, finances. Maybe your finances are cluttered, and you know what that does. It gets confusion and lack of the kind of stewardship that you want and God intends. Maybe it's in a relationship. You got some loose ends, things that have not been resolved. That's clutter. In your spiritual life, you got confusion. You're not settled in some things. You got, as the Bible says, a little double-mindedness going on. And like a wave of the sea, that's bad news. Maybe it's your schedule or maybe your emotional life. Not to discourage you, but I think we all wrestle with this. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and we're not perfect. We get it. But we also need to understand that at times we got to make a decision and we got to get after it, because ultimately the clutter in our life is keeping us from really experiencing God's best intention for our life. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen. And this is a carryover from yesterday. We talked about decluttering your life, and we got some great calls we're going to get to in a moment. I think one of the best things I've ever heard on this topic was from Barbara Himpfeld, who's a kind of an expert, writes a lot, and does things on this topic. She says, clutter is really nothing more than postponed decisions. That's really true. You say, well, I'll put that off. I'll deal with that later. And as a reality, we don't. And then that clutter starts to develop in areas that I think can affect us. Is that one of the reasons sometimes you hear the stories about sour, grumpy old men or women? That can happen too, right, Jennifer? Is that because there's been just a lot of clutter in life that's been collected and unresolved and undealt with? So today we want to help you. And the first thing to do is say, all right, let's be honest with ourselves here. What is the area that's cluttering my life, and what am I going to do about it? And I'm going to take some baby steps. I'm going to say, what one thing could I do in the next 30 days every day to start to declutter that area of my life? And that's really what intentional living is all about. All right. If you want to share your story with us today, do so at 888-888-1717. Let's go to Bonnie in Kansas. Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's going on with clutter in your life?
Well, after listening to all that, I realized that my whole life is a clutter.
Sorry.
The clutter I was going to talk about was the clutter in my fiance's parents' shop, their big outbuilding out back. We lost our housing voucher last September, and they brought us in, and we've been living with them for over a year now, and we don't know what to do with all that stuff. Once in a while, we go out there and we dig through it, and everything's been shuffled around so much, there's no organization to it at all whatsoever now.
Now, why do you are you guys dealing with it? I mean, are mom and dad there and they're just not dealing with it? Is that the problem? I mean, it's your husband's, you're living with your husband's parents. Is that what you said?
Yeah, they moved us into their finished basement with my three teenagers and our dog.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a place to go.
All right.
So all of our stuff from our apartment ended up in their outbuilding.
Oh.
And nobody really goes out there too much. So it's just sitting out there for the most part, completely unorganized. We've talked about throwing it all away, but then there's something that we're just like, well, what if there's this? What if there's that? You know, that's all the stuff from our apartment. So we have in the basement is what we need.
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking is this something they want you to do? Or why do you feel like, hey, I got to clean out their stuff?
Well, it's just taking up a lot of room out there and collecting dust and mice and all kinds of other stuff. And
okay.
It's probably just going to rot away anyway out there.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, the stuff that we do want to keep, what would we do with it, really? Because the space that we have is very little.
Yeah.
And there's really no room to bring it in the house.
Yeah, so what you're saying is we got to clean up some space to have some more space. You know, I gave that quote the other day that, no, I didn't. This is from Francis Jay, who made the statement, your home is a living space, not a storage space. And I think many times what happens is we confuse that. The big, and by the way, I'm preaching to myself here on this. But if you don't need it and you haven't used it in 6 months, what's the likelihood you're ever going to need it and use it in the future, and how important it is? And you've raised another point. There are sometimes it's not only, I'm wasting space and holding on to stuff, but you can get creatures in there and it can become, unhealthy for you in different ways. I think, first of all, for me, I would say with mom and dad, hey, are you okay with us doing some cleaning out there? And then I would get my own stuff and I'd get it up off the ground and I'd store it in containers that are safe and whatever to make sure that our stuff is as secure as can be. And then start putting a pile and then say to the parents, is any of the stuff you ever going to use again? If you're not, boom, it's got to be gone. Listen, this is exactly, my wife said to me yesterday, because we were talking about simplifying our life and getting a little bit smaller space and things. And we're talking about starting the garage. That's where we got stuff out there still from our kids. I mean, stuff the kids, they've been married and got kids and got grandkids. There's still stuff out there that they're never going to need. Not a lot, but some stuff. But it's hard for, I know what you're thinking, Stephen. I can see that. Look, put it in the back of your truck and go drive it over there and dump it on their front yard. Yeah, I get you. Well, really, seriously, there's not much. But just the stuff you collect, with Christmas coming up, for instance, we got Christmas decorations. Well, you've collected Christmas decorations over years and years of marriage. And some of that we don't use. Some of it we do, some of it we don't. And I'm thinking to Donna, we could make that a lot smaller storage area if we only kept the stuff that we actually use. Boy, this is therapeutic for me. But that's what I would really do. I think Bonnie with you and your husband, with the parents, just say, let's just take a cleaning day and let's be serious about the things we know for sure that can go. Let's get the obvious low hanging fruit, as it were, out of there, and then take it from there. That'll be the momentum inertia breaker thing in your life. All right, let's go to Lisa next in New Mexico. Hi there, Lisa. How are you?
Dr. Carlson, thank you for taking my call. I've just loved you over the years. You've helped me raise my children and my husband. No, I'm just kidding. you did.
Help you raise your husband. Well, that's one of the goals in life. If we can help husbands, we're doing well. Talk to us about clutter in your life. What have you learned, Lisa? Oop, I think we've lost Lisa. Maybe you can try to reconnect, okay? In the meantime, let me go to Cindy, who's next in Michigan. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing wonderful.
Good. What do you want to contribute to this clutter discussion today?
Well, this is the nail on the head story. No problem. I mean, what you put out there is directed at me today, I think. I actually am in therapy for this, and my whole problem has to do with resales, garage sales, flea markets, stuff that's so cheap. Yeah, I can buy this and this. So through the years, it's really added up. But in my therapy, I'm learning what they call Swedish dust cleaning. And in Sweden, they do not hoard over there. They don't accumulate stuff they don't need. Nope. So you look around your house and think, if I died today, what is all this going to do? The kids aren't going to want this and this and this. So she teaches me to take 15 minutes is all I'm allowed to have at a time to clean a spot, and have three boxes. One I don't want, one I'm not sure, and one I'm going to give away.
Yep.
And with that, and it's funny when you get started and you feel so good, you keep going.
That's right.
But she also told me that when I accumulate the giveaway box or whatever, get it out in the car now. Do not leave it laying around. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it adding. And then the next time you're by that place to donate, you're going to donate it. So that has really helped me, because I'm a gift giver and I buy stuff at garage sales for the grandkids, and I keep letting it add up and add up. And she says, half the time they probably don't even want it, but they feel bad. So
that's
they
right.
Take it.
So they put it in their garage, and then they're going to be dealing
exactly.
with it. Question, Cindy, let me ask you a question. You said you said this a couple times. This has been adding up. Have you ever added it up? How much do you think you have spent on garage sales and what have you, estimate over the years, that you think, I really didn't need that?
Oh, thousands of dollars. My husband and I've been married for over almost 50 years, and I've been doing this all along. And I've learned to stay away from them, and I almost hold my head high when I drive by one.
Yes,
so I'm working on it, It's very hard for me. Yeah, and I was raised by parents that were in depression, so same scenario. You save your plastic bags, you save your bread ties,
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to let it go. And she said, let somebody else enjoy that.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, speaking of Swedish, I'm Swedish. Carlson, Swedish. My grandparents came from Sweden, and my wife and I had the opportunity to go and visit some family in Sweden last year. We were in Stockholm, and you're absolutely right. We visited one of our remote cousins who's a professor over there at the university, and we went to their home, and it's IKEA, even though it's not IKEA. All right, but you get the picture? Simple, clean, no complication. And I remember Donna commenting, wow, and then we come home to our stuff, and all the things we collect. That's the American way, right? We collect too much stuff. The Swedish desk cleaning, if you don't need it, box it and move it along. Let's take a quick break, okay? We'll be right back. We're talking today about clutter. And of course, what often gravitates to is the stuff. It's got emotional connection in our lives. But boy, listen, let's not ignore the fact that we can have clutter in other areas. Your schedule, my schedule, emotional life, relational life, our finances. These are things that can be very cluttering in our lives. All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? Anything from the small things of what I'm going to eat next to the big decisions of who am I going to marry? And I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. They don't want to be wrong. And so people who are indecisive are often people who just fear being wrong. If I'm wrong, I can't deal with making the wrong choice. That's an excerpt from Yes and No. That's the topic. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. Decision making. It's up on our website. It's in our member kind of holding tank for those of you who are part of the ongoing support family. We make those teachings available to you. Thank you for your monthly support. When you join us, you're helping us together reach more people here and around the world to declutter their life spiritually, to give their life to Christ, as we see people saying, ultimately, I'm done trying to do it my own way. It just isn't working. And Lord, come into my life and begin this journey of living intentionally in Him. Not perfect. We're not perfect. But to live more intentionally for His glory and certainly our benefit in the process. So thank you for your prayers and support. You can join us at theintentionallife.com. Or you can call 888-888-1717. All right, back to Lisa, New Mexico. You there, Lisa?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead. I guess you got a story for us. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, my husband and I married 41 years. He's 67. I'm 63. And we just moved from our home that we raised our children in. They're in their 30s now. 5-bedroom, 4-bath, 4,200 square foot. So you can imagine the clutter, and we just moved into a 1,000 square foot casita on the same property.
Wow.
And our son and his wife and 4 granddaughters on the 3 acres are living in the big house now.
So what did you do with the 4,200 square feet worth of stuff?
Well, took it to the thrift store, gave things away, got the kids to pick what they want. Why wait till we're dead? So they've picked things that they loved, and I'm bringing stuff to Boise. We've got 2 kids up there with their families and 2 granddaughters, so we're going to make a haul up there for the keepsakes that they want now. And we are free. And that was one reason, is to be free. So our son that is at the house now, probably going to option to purchase. And just keep it in the family. And so we're free birds. I'm telling you, I sit in that little casita and I'm just like, I feel like the angels are all around me. what it does to you physically is amazing. And then to know that we've passed it on to the kids, to be able to do that, I tell you.
And now, how long have you been in the casita?
Right now, 6-7 months. We're 7 months in there now.
That's interesting because, you know, I've talked to people who have, you know, they've had a bigger home and whatever. And yours was a big one, 4,000 square feet. Yeah. And they move something smaller and then they later say, oh, that's too small and we can't adjust. And so you're happy with 1,000 square feet.
Oh, yes. My husband, his spot that he hung out in the house, one of the bedrooms turned into his office man cave. What he has now is bigger than that. So he's really happy. And I have my little kitchen and a bookshelf divide the living room from our bedroom. And our bedroom set fit in there like a glove. But, you know, it's just, it's small. But I think a husband might adjust a little bit more. I guess both genders could struggle with it. But he's learning to be, he's saying, I'm really glad we moved.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot less to clean, to mow, to repair. I'm speaking for myself, by the way. And I just have to, you know, things around my house. I like doing the things around my own house. I got this control problem, but I like to do my own stuff. And so as things start to break and whatever, you get to your longer list, and the more you got, the more you got to repair it. Well, you know how it goes. All right. Decluttering your life. Thank you. Enjoying 1,000 square feet there in New Mexico. Rhonda is in Texas. Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I lived in a house that I've always been kind of OCD about things. Everything had to have its place. Everything had to be put up. And, you know, even when my kids came in, they knew to take off their shoes and put them in a certain place. But about 5 years ago, we moved out of a four-bedroom house into a two-bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is piled up in the closet, and it drives me nuts. And all in both closets.
But you brought everything from that house, didn't you? You brought everything over.
Yes.
See, did you hear the last caller?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But it was so hard. But finally, yesterday, I thought, I am sick of this. I can't handle it any longer. So in the living room, I took everything out, swept them off, and then rearranged my furniture. And I'm just going to try to do one room at a time and get rid of stuff. But the hard thing for me, I came from a bad family to begin with, but then I was adopted. But it's like I still have that habit of I've got a whole.
Yeah, see, what's happening, Rhonda, is you have an emotional attachment to things. And some people have no emotional attachment to anything. And I think that can, you know, that's another extreme, I think, potentially. But we can also have the other extreme, like you said, that OCD kind of mentality, that idea, I gotta control things. And I know that can be really serious. Sometimes you're going to need to get some outside help. You can maybe get some people to come and help you process this. There's services available that could help you if you find yourself really getting stuck in this, because it's easy to do. But I think on the basis of getting started like you've done is a fantastic idea. You get it out in the middle. If it were me, I'd kind of hold this thing and I'd ask myself, what meaning does this have to me? Can I grieve the loss? And am I ever going to need it? Is there anybody else that's ever going to need it? Come on, be honest with myself and then move it along. But somebody earlier made the statement, if you put it down somewhere and say, I'll get to it later, that's the indecision right there. Put it in the box that goes out in the car and on the way to you know, the thrift store or wherever it's going, and getting some help. Sometimes having someone work with you who's a little more objective that can help you process. Believe it or not, there are therapists and those that work with people with this clutter issue that can be a help to you, and in the process help you, you know, break down some of those walls and to get there. I'm glad you're doing this, Rhonda. Like you said, I'm sick and tired of it. We brought 4,000 square feet into 2,000 square feet, and it's everywhere, and I'm done with it. And as you know, and as you're discovering, this stuff can get in our way, not only physically, but emotionally and otherwise. And that's really what we're talking about today. As the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, throw off everything that hinders you. And sometimes that's emotional, it's spiritual, it's priorities. And sometimes, frankly, it's just the stuff that we have.
I was just listening, and a guy named Tom called in, and he's a new Christian, and he said so many things that I feel. I've been a Christian since I was a child, but it's been very different in the last little while, and it's so different. I'm so different, and it's so hard, but it's so good, and I'm just really grateful that we've got this radio station making, and I'm trying very hard to live an intentional life. And I just thank you very much. God bless you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and thank you, and your tears are real. And I encourage you, as you think about, I'm doing my best to live an intentional life. Let's be careful with this thing of living intentionally, that we don't become OCD with this, okay? We can become obsessed with, I've got to be intentional in my life every moment, and that's not healthy either. That's why, because I'm a kind of a simple guy, and I bring intentional living down to, hey, what one thing today, just one thing today, what could I do today that's going to make my life better, my family better, glorify God, move me towards some goal that I have, or correcting some problem I need to deal with? And just like Rhonda's call, maybe the one thing for her and for others, is in her case, was just say, hey, today I'm going to put the stuff out in the middle of the room, and I'm going to take five things and decide on those five things. And tomorrow I'll decide on five more. And the next day, five more. And before you know it, you got 20, 30 things out the door, and your life is a little bit better, and you're a little more in control, and you're feeling better, and it's a good thing. And so the idea of being intentional really comes down to this, making a decision. We're talking about decluttering your life and then asking the question, what one thing could I do today that would make the single biggest difference in my life for God's glory and for my benefit? And that's what that little one thing wristband that I wear means for me. As Cynthia says, Scalise, she says, clutter is the physical manifestation of unmade decisions fueled by procrastination. Wow. And that's true. All right, let's get to the calls here. We'll go over to Arizona. Cerise is on the line. What sounds like you're struggling. What's going on?
One of the topics that I struggle with in clutter is that I'm an elderly woman. I receive a lot of gifts throughout mm-hmm. my life. So when I break something, I struggle with just letting it go.
Mm.
Instead of thinking I have to glue it and then put it back on the shelf because of who gave it to me or, you know, whatever. So that's been my intent this year, is that when something's broken,
yeah,
mourn it, let it go.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to mourn it, you know, just let it go. So that's probably my biggest struggle at this point. I've learned that every year I go through my own closet, and if I've not worn something in a year, I put it in a bag and I give it to, you know, Gospel Rescue or, you know, some of the places where people can use the clothing. And I also go on sabbaticals with the Lord and commit to Him that I will not purchase anything else in this order until He releases me.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work pretty good. But the biggest struggle I have is just letting go of those things that are broken instead of holding on to them and dusting them and cleaning them all the time.
Yeah, and what I heard was it was because of the thing. It's the emotional attachment to that thing from the person that gave it.
Yes.
And in some cases, it may be people that are deceased.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that. And, you know, and then family with their good intentions, you know, want me to take things, and I take them, and, you know, stuff like that. And then you're, what am I going to do with it? Do I leave it in the box, or do I... And you don't want to offend anybody, so you just keep taking.
Yeah, listen, there's a time and a season for everything under the sun, a time to keep, a time to not keep, and a time to throw things out. And that's pretty biblical, isn't it? As we talk about the power of being intentional. Today, we've been talking about this decluttering thing. I'd love to hear your stories. What have you wrestled with? What have you learned? What do you want to share with others? Give us a call at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 as we getting close to the end of the show today. I hope it's been helpful. It's been helpful to me. I always enjoy this program because it gets me remotivated. If there's such a remotivated, is that a word? Remotivated to get focused on areas that I need to declutter in my own life.
Hi, this is Cheryl. I wanted to comment on the clutter. My husband and I recently retired, and one of the things that has been important to us is as we are aging and getting closer to moment by moment, spending time with eternity with our Lord, is with our kids coming behind us and having to take care of the stuff that's in the house. So I have this personal goal of the kids when they come through the home after we're gone and opening the cabinet door and there's nothing in that cabinet that they have to do something with. Because the stuff in our life becomes stuff that has to be taken care of. And so we've intentionally started purging and letting things go that, you know, it's just stuff and junk, quite frankly. And by letting that go, there really has been a burden lifted off of us. And we know that it will be a burden lifted off our kids.
Yeah, man, that's a great way to end the show. I think maybe that's a reminder to me and those of us as we're getting to that stage, you know, maybe the kids are gone and you got an empty nest and you're looking around and asking yourself, why do I need some of this stuff? Some of you are good at this, others not so much. But in the process, let's not forget that we're not only focused on our garage and our basement and our closets. We're focused on the closets of our minds, closets of our spirit, and our closets of our relationships that may need to be decluttered as well. That can take a lot of directions, can it? All right, I'm Dr. Randy. We got to run. Thanks for being a part of the program today. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your prayers and your support. And a reminder that intentional living exists because of your prayers and support. And intentional living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.